So Father's Day, great day for getting cards and for eating out. But we would really, really miss the boat if we didn't actually make some real observations that the men in our congregation can take from it. It is difficult in American society, and it seems like it gets a little bit more difficult every decade, but it's really difficult in American society to really stand up and hold fast the primacy of men. It's uncomfortable. But that's exactly what the scriptures teach. Man was created first. God established man to be over the woman. And there's scripture after scripture in this. And that puts within him a position of leadership. A very, very important position of leadership. And so on Father's Day, that's what I think. And what I believe is going to be the most important for all of us is to understand how our men can be virtuous men. The way that we're going to do that is that we're going to study a particular Old Testament man. And this Old Testament man was a very, very virtuous man. It's Daniel. And when we study Daniel, we're only going to look at one period of time in Daniel's life. In fact, it's actually a very, very short period of time in Daniel's life. But it's long enough to get a lot of really great lessons from him. And I know what you're thinking. It's going to be difficult. I mean, I'll be throwing a lot at you. Little bit of a spoiler alert. We'll have 5 points that we go at this morning. And it's going to be a lot to think about. And honestly, with so much information that we have today, it's honestly very easy to just kind of choke on it. That's where technology helps us. Lesson in the outline will be up within the website, unless something major happens, in 24 hours. And this is something that you can go back to and you can listen to. You can even read it. And you can see, I mean, especially if you're a father, what can make you better at this incredible role of leadership that God has blessed you with. And for, you know, for a lot of you, for 23 years basically, I have done the best that I felt like I could as a father. And I have regrets. In fact, I don't think that there would be a man here who wouldn't have regrets. I hope that no man's life is absolutely full of regrets, because it shouldn't be that way. But when we look at some of these individuals, you're going to maybe think, you know, look, this it's great. That's fantastic. Daniel's a great guy. Fantastic. Thank you for bringing him up. But he's so far beyond what I am right now, I can't possibly attain to that. So I just give up. Well, before we get started, let me just make one recommendation to you. And this is kind of the tie-in to technology. It's soon going to be up forever, I suppose, until we stop paying the bill. But it's going to be there for you to listen to see, to read, to think about all of the time. And the one suggestion that I would make is, if we go over anything in the life of Daniel this morning and you think, you know what, I'm deficient at that. For me to be the kind of father that's going to get my family safely into eternity, I need to make this change, that change, that change, and that change. Try one at a time. So when we get started with Daniel chapter 6 in the first verse, in just a second, I'm going to bring up this first point. And you might think, man, right off the bat, Kyle's got me. then set to making that one change. And then after that change is made, then move on to the next one, and then to the next one. So these small shifts in your focus, these small shifts in your character become seismic when they're multiplied out to the members of your family. That would be my suggestion. Don't take it all in and choke on it and think, I can't do this. I'm so far below him. I just can't do it. Try one at a time. Try adding to yourself and changing yourself with one of these at a time and see if that won't help. As far as the ladies are concerned, it is regrettable that we had this virus. It's regrettable for a lot of reasons why we had this virus. But in my little group on Mother's Day, we looked at a virtuous woman. And we studied the Shulamite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4. And we had a lot of great lessons. I thought they were great. Beauties in the eye of the beholder, I suppose. I thought there were worthy lessons from that woman's life. A noble life, a noble quest, one little period of her life that our women could take and make themselves better. So for what it's worth, we do the exact same for the men this morning. Let's look in Daniel chapter 6, because we're going to start with Daniel being a man of character. Daniel chapter 6, starting in verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. The United States has 50 states with a governor in each state. These satraps, or the satrapy, was just an organization of government where they would have provinces, big far-flung kingdom. So 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to him to set him over the whole realm. Now, when you think about Daniel, this is, to me, the reason why I skipped over Daniel 1 through 5 is to get to Daniel chapter 6. If I were to ask you, tell me what you know about Daniel, most people are going to be very inclined to say, well, he was a teenager. And you're correct in Daniel chapter 1, but this is Daniel chapter 6. Now, the best that we can estimate, and that's all that we can do, but I don't think this range is far off, you're looking at a man in his 80s. So that gives me a couple of great lessons. And the first great lesson is, age is absolutely no barrier to serving God. You're 50 years old, you need to serve God. You're a new father at 28, you need to serve God. You're still a father when you're 85, and you still need to be serving God. There's a great, great lesson. And there's another great lesson. And that is, no matter how old you are, the devil's not going to stop coming after you. The temptation and the trials, they may change during our lives, but they're never going to stop. So we can either use age and growth and maturity to make us better and stronger, or we can use it to make us bitter, to turn us against the world, to turn us against brethren who really want to see us do better and excel. The choice is going to be up to the men who have to encounter this. You need to have, even at advanced age, and there are some in here this morning of advanced age, you need to have what Daniel had, an excellent spirit. The word for excellent is found in the Old Testament 8 times. Every single time, it's found in the book of Daniel. Other versions translate it as extraordinary. The definition, preeminent, surpassing. What was Daniel? He was an extraordinary man. So when we think about the fact, a reflection of our lives, looking back, could our children say, could our wives say, could our daughter-in-laws say, you know what? I was blessed to know him because he was an extraordinary man. I love taking the opportunity to talk to Emma yesterday, because once we kind of got through the little things about how she was doing immediately in the moment, she got to talking about Lewis and their 17 or 18-ish years that they had spent together. And to hear her talking about Lewis and to praise the kind of character that he had. You know, I sat there and I went out in the garage so I could kind of be by myself to just really talk to her. And I sat there and I thought, you know what? If whatever age that I do indeed reach, I don't know if it'll be 100, but whatever age that I do reach, I sure hope that I have a wife who can talk to other people about me the way that she did about her husband. It was just marvelous. And I'm sure that a lot of you over the next several days are going to hear the same statements that I heard from her. Daniel was a man of character. Brother Lewis was a man of character. Our church needs, the world needs, Lufkin needs men of character. And I think here's one more little point. Now I've got there's so much to say about all these, but I have to find a point where I shut up and move on. Daniel proved so much. A man likely in his 80s who had reached the pinnacle of success, there was only a step or two left for Daniel to go, and those steps probably were not available to someone who was literally a foreigner. Here was a man who proved beyond question that you can succeed in this world without compromising. Isn't that a tremendous lesson? Daniel was a man of character. So men, be men of character. Let's take up in verse 4 now, and let's secondly look at Daniel being a man of consistency. So starting in verse 4, the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found any. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it in him concerning the law of his God." Okay, so we know our laws, and our laws can't find anything wrong. Have to go elsewhere. Verse 6, "So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said to him, 'Thus King Darius live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the satraps, the counselors, the advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree." Now they've laid their trap. Let's go to Romans chapter 13. Let's go to Romans chapter 13. So in Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 1, Paul gives a very short but incredibly worded treatise on how the Christian responds to civil government. Now there's a lot in our lifetime. I suppose, this is just me with my own thoughts and feelings and opinions. I would imagine that there's lots in every generation to be outraged by. It feels like we just live in a time of outrage, so that outrage peaks and then it wanes, and then we move on until the next thing to be outraged about occurs, and then it falls off. Probably every generation's been like that. And so we rail against this and we rail against that, and we down-talk our president, or we down-talk the opposition party. Look what Paul said in Romans chapter 13. Starting in 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Now let's jump down a little bit. He talks about how the government has the right to punish. Let's skip past that though. Let's look in verse 5. He's drawing the conclusion of the statement. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Yes, they can punish you, so don't do anything wrong. That's my message for the youth today. You want to avoid a lot of trouble in your life? Don't do anything wrong. I mean, that's as fast as I can make it, and that's as concise as I can make it. But let's keep going. You do it for conscience' sake. This is the will of Jesus Christ. So, in 6, for because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. They attend to it. They take it. They collect it. Then they use it. Hopefully, arguably, I know, for the betterment of society. In verse 7, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Daniel was impeccable. So here was Daniel in a foreign government, an ungodly government. So do you think that they ever funded something that Daniel would have been opposed to? Oh no, that wouldn't have ever happened. What did Daniel do? He listened to government. Men, raise your children that if they want to have better and happier and more productive lives, they respect that government. And if there are elements of it that need to be changed, there are ways and channels to do that, to affect change. And they follow that. Daniel was a man of consistency, but Daniel's first and ultimate job was, of course, to God. So let's look in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Now I have to really, really bear down on this. Philippians chapter 2. Heard so much from wives and mothers about their husbands and their fathers not being what they ought to be. So much. Wives and mothers about their husbands and fathers not being what they should be. Some in the room, some out. And I think, oh no, not, no, it couldn't be. Not them. They show up. They look nice. They've got a tie on. Not them. But see, they're one thing around me, and they're something else around everybody else. Philippians 2, 15 and 14 through 16. Philippians chapter 2, starting verse. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Your time to shine. Of course, remember, statistically speaking, is mostly outside this building. What your wife and what the mother of your children want to see from you is consistency. What they want to see from you is a godly person, and they want to see that all the time. They don't want to see a Jekyll and Hyde. They don't want to see one person who can play a part, who can put on airs, and they look great around the in-laws, and they look great around the church members. But other times, in the home, at work, it's all of these disrespectful, ungodly attitudes and behaviors. So So wives and mothers don't want to see it. I can imagine God sure doesn't want to see it. We need men of consistency. If you're going to be it all the time. Daniel was someone whose godliness didn't switch like a switch. His life didn't turn on and off depending on what set of doors he went in and out of. This was a man who was godly and who could always be counted on to be godly. Here was a man who shined as a light in a crooked and perverse generation. And you know, he was in the political field. What did he spend all his time around? Politicians. You can imagine he probably spent a lot of time around people who knew nothing but compromise. But Daniel did not do that because Daniel was a man of conviction. Let's keep on going. Now we get to verse 10 in Daniel chapter 6. So starting now in verse 10, Daniel chapter 6. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and he went in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed. And he gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and they found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They went before the king. They spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you've signed, but makes his petition three times a day. I mean, he doesn't just disobey your law every once in a while in the 30 days. He doesn't just disobey the law every day of the 30 days. He really sticks it in your eye and disobeys your law three times a day, 30 days. That's 90 times. That's 90 counts. If he were going to get prosecuted, that's 90 counts. That's a lot of counts. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So Daniel continues to worship God. And it doesn't matter, the fear of persecution. He kept right on praying. Here was the enemy, and the enemy was just waiting there to pounce. But Daniel doesn't give up. I like this in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. It becomes, I think, such an incredibly worthy element of everything that we do. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. It needs to become a worthy element of everything. Every test that you're going to go through, those trials, those temptations, what should you be doing? Exactly what Jesus was saying. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. So here's what Daniel was doing. I mean, again, think about it. Let's put it into perspective. Not just once, but 30-day period of time, three times a day, 90 times prayer. And there's so many directions that I could have went and used up all of our time in talking about ways that we actually need to be convicted, that men need to be convicted. But because the account talked about prayer, then we'll just stick with prayer. But there's a lot of applications here. So here's Daniel. Knowing that, the enemy is right there, ready to pounce. And what does he still continue to do? Pray. Prayer was not incidental in his life. Now, this is a great lesson for everyone. Prayer was not incidental in his life. And for some people, it gets to be very tempting to make prayer incidental. It's something that when we're worried or when we're stressed, or it's something that we do maybe when we think about the fact that we've got food, but so we're going to say a prayer. And remember, there's nothing wrong with any of that. And I don't mean to draw a point that's wrong about any of that. But it doesn't really become hard-baked into us like it was with Daniel. And that's what it needs to be. And it really, when you think about it, Daniel was called greatly beloved three times in the book. Three times in the book. Once in chapter 9, twice in chapter 10. The only other person who was ever, by God, described as someone who was greatly beloved was Jesus Christ. So that's how important Daniel was to God. Now, was prayer all of it? No. We're even proving that today. But I'll tell you what, brethren, it was a part of it. It was a part of it. And so prayer, so many great men, Abraham and David, Jesus, began their days with prayer. They prayed at special times. They prayed at certain times. So here was the king, and now we can draw just a few little thoughts about the king. Here was the king, completely just engrossed in worry and anxiety and trying to save Daniel. But Daniel had been praying. So Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And let's look in 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. Here's what Daniel could do. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that's what Daniel had. Here was the ruler, I mean, doing everything to think about how he's going to get Daniel out of this. And here was Daniel calmly praying to God. Who was the king and who was the slave? So let me make another point before we leave this. Daniel was an older man, and he could have easily made excuses and compromised. 80-ish years old, he could have said, I have done so well through my whole life. I've been so faithful. I have stood up for God so many times. Now this last time, I'm going to let it slip. Because again, I've got this mountain of good that I've done for the Lord, and He'll surely excuse me if in these last waning years of my life, I compromise just a little bit. But Daniel didn't do that. Daniel might have said, well, you know what? Even if I keep on going for the Lord, and I'm strong and I'm faithful, I'm sure better off alive than I am dead. You see, he could have come up with 10 different reasons why it would have been best to just fold and go ahead and stop praying than he would to have been a man of conviction. But being a man of conviction is what God wanted. And ultimately, being a man of conviction is exactly what got him out of it. Because Daniel wasn't depending on the king. You'll notice the statements were made, make this decree because it's not alterable. That was one of the characteristics. Interestingly, it's the book of Esther that brings up for us that once a king made a decree, you couldn't change it. I mean, it's not like us. I mean, we can make a law and then we can repeal the law, or we can essentially make a law that replaces it. You couldn't do that. You made it. It stands. So here, Darius was locked into what he had done. But Daniel was trusting in someone greater. He was trusting in God. So he became a man then of conscience. Going back to Daniel chapter 6, we're going to take up in 16. Daniel chapter 6 now, taking up in 16. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Now, Daniel, and we could have looked about, you can fit this in one of these on the screen. So here was Daniel living the way that he should, and he'd already went off and convinced a pagan king that at least God was able to powerfully protect him. I don't say that he's ready to become a Jew, but he sure knows that his God's going to protect him. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lord, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace, spent the night fasting. No musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. The king arose very early in the morning, went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den. No injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in God. What a contrast. I mean, I'll say one more time. What a contrast between Darius and Daniel. Here's Darius, so worried about how to get him out of it. Spent the night, deep anxiety. And Daniel was just as calm as he could be. I've even thought about this. Someone brought this up to me one time before too. Here's Darius, you know, and he's going to be in his bedchamber, and he's got to be guarded. So someone could have paid off the guard. Someone could have slipped in the chamber and assassinated him. I mean, these things happened back in ancient times. So here was Darius just out living his life and had to worry about actually being in the threat of mortal danger as a king all of the time. Here was Daniel, ironically, stuck in a lion's den all night long. He was the safest person on planet Earth at that given time. Have you ever thought about that? He was the safest person on Earth at that moment, because it was God who was protecting him. And I find that interesting. Did you note this, by the way? Daniel attributes God's intervention. Look in 23. Look in 23. The king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. Daniel was taken up out of the den. No injury was found on him. Daniel attributes his success to his innocence. We had just read that in 22. So I was found innocent. Daniel comes out of it. Daniel comes out of it with one idea as to why he made it. Daniel comes out of it and says, "I made it because I was innocent before you." God had something else to say. So I've always found that interesting. In verse 23, the account says that Daniel was saved. Why? Because he believed in God. Because he believed in God. "O king, I have done no wrong before you." Here was a man of conscience. He could come out of that and say, "I haven't done anything wrong." Now, this is where it really hurts. So how many men could have a clean conscience? You know, Paul in Acts chapter 23, verse 1, as he had lived and done everything important in the Jews, and then did everything that was important, then living as an apostle as far as the gospel was concerned, could at that time say that I've done everything with a clean, clear conscience. So how many fathers could say that? I'd say not many. Is that reason to give up? I wouldn't recommend it. It's reason to change, but it's not reason to give up. Daniel wouldn't have. We know what kind of man he was. Daniel wouldn't have given up. Because really and truly, finally, Daniel was a man, ultimately, at the very end, he was a man of courage. I mean, again, you look at him, 23, they took him up out of the den. No injury was found on him because he had believed in God. He had stood firm for him. Now, again, here was a person, and arguably, we could very comfortably, even in my dad's generation. So my dad's 84. So even in my dad's generation, he could comfortably say that we live in the so-called Judeo-Christian nation of the United States of America. But that's been changing over the last 20 or so years. And while I still firmly believe that we live in a nation that's based on those principles, I don't think it's based as much on those principles as it was two or three decades ago. It makes me very sad to say that, but that's just my observation. If you disagree, that's okay. But throw all of that out. Because Daniel didn't have anything. He didn't have anything remotely resembling what was the United States of America as far as righteousness was concerned. Here was a man who had to live in a pagan country. It's any wonder he had faith at all after growing up. Not like he went in. Not like he went into captivity at 75 and now we're talking about him at 80. Here was a kid who probably went in at 15 or 20, and now we're talking about him at 80. And all of that long stretch of time, the vast majority of a man's life, living in a place not even remotely conducive to being a godly, righteous person. And what does Daniel do? He sticks it out. Did he have regrets along the way? Brethren, he was human. You got to imagine he had regrets along the way. But did he give up? Obviously not. He remained firm to the end. And guys, that's what we've got to do. And even if there's no one watching, we've got to be faithful to the end. When I look, for example, in verse 24, it gives a nice ending to it. So this is kind of beyond the lesson, or at least beyond the passage that we're going to look at. But we're going to see how it closes anyway. 24, the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel. They cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives. The lions overpowered them, broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came then to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? And as the chapter ends, you can make a couple of observations. First observation is that, look, life just goes on. There's going to be kingdoms that come and kingdoms that go. There's going to be lifestyles that come and lifestyles that go. There's going to be attitudes and actions in a society that rise and that wane. But what was always there through it all was Daniel, with his character, with his conviction, with his courage. Here was a man who was just utterly outstanding. And a man, the second lesson, as the chapter, at least this section of the chapter, ends, here was someone whose life ends on a positive note. 28, this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. I've talked about how old he was. He actually keeps on going. If you look at a timeline's not real important, only to know that, you know, the end of Daniel's life's not in the end of 6. Chapter 10 gives us more markers that moved to however old Daniel was, he still had years left to go. And as he had years left to go, what he functions as is one of God's prophets. Now that's a pretty good indication that Daniel didn't give up after the lion's den, nor did he retire after the lion's den. He kept on faithfully serving God because God, even in his advanced age, still had a job for men like Daniel. Father's one of the greatest gifts that you can give to your family is the gift of longevity. And I don't really necessarily mean longevity as far as how long you live. That would be wonderful. But longevity as far as you following faithfully Jesus Christ. A great example, Acts chapter 8, verse 40, after Philip has his interaction with the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, we've read and studied and preached all about the Ethiopian eunuch. Here's a little point that kind of falls in the cracks. Acts chapter 8, verse 40, the last verse of the chapter, says that Philip went up to Caesarea and he works there. And again, that's great. But then you keep reading, Acts chapter 21, and the 8th verse mentions Philip again. 13 chapters later, he's still in Caesarea, and he's still an evangelist. Now, the point that's so special to me is that those 13 chapters comprise 20 years. He went to that place as an evangelist. He worked there. He remained faithful. He remained constant. He remained courageous. He remained a person of character. And what did he do? Undoubtedly helped people by the hundreds find Jesus Christ. Here was Daniel, who helped this pagan king acknowledge that God had power. Did he become a Jew? I don't know. I doubt it. But he was someone who was willing, literally, to sign his name to the fact that the God of Daniel was a God of power. That is the influence of a good life. So today on Father's Day, you're being honored. A lot of you have already gotten a card. A lot of you are going to go out, if I'll ever stop. I do promise that I will. And that's great. It really, really is. But just let me suggest that the number one priority that you ought to have is making yourself into the kind of individual that Daniel was. And I know it's a lot to think about and a lot to throw at you and a lot to contemplate in just a single chapter. But I would again, as we close, make the recommendation that you work on this one at a time. If you think, my character's not what it should be, well, you know what? You can start changing your character today. And you go right on down the list. If you think my conscience isn't what it should be, or if my conviction isn't what it should be, you can change all of that. And you can lead your family into eternity. And I suppose that's the best gift you could ever give to anyone, to any generation, is to be that kind of person. A virtuous man. A man that teaches us all kinds of lessons. And wherever they go, if you think about a boating term for just a second, the wake that they leave is always one of positivity. Wherever they are, whomever they affect, it's always in a positive way. It always makes them better. Men, let's be men like that. Our time for you to obey what we've studied this morning is now. Be a person of character. Maybe you haven't been. If you haven't been, I've told you, we can change these, and we can change these one at a time. Well, today might be the time to begin by changing this one. So come up here and let us know. If you want to be obedient to the gospel, if you want to then begin to become a godly person like Daniel does, we've got the chance to do that now. Your repentance of sin, your confession of Jesus, your baptism in Him, in this water, can start your new life in Jesus Christ. We encourage you to do it. I've said enough, so let's leave the rest now for your decision. While we stand and sing.